So here we are on this beautiful day of July 17th, and I, in the middle of this beautiful summertime, I think that we need to address an issue that is keeping some of us from really fully enjoying the blessings and the beauty and the sweetness of summer and all the good things that we need to be taking in during the months of play, relaxation, and sunshine. And I was thinking about, what is that? You know, we've covered so many of those topics lately, but the one thing we really haven't looked at head on, it's a biggie. It's really, really huge. And it has to do with fear. And what fear does to block our accessibility to joy, our ability to look for and receive blessings, even to look for, discover, and implement opportunities. So, I think it would be really fun to open this call, especially considering that we haven't had conversations in the last two calls. I think it might be fun if I open the call with this one big question. What would you do, or how would life be different if you were not afraid of anything? Take a minute to think about that, and then press 5-star and come on the dashboard. I'd love to hear your answer to that question. Okay, here we've got someone from, just a minute, hit the wrong one. Someone from area code 916, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Elizabeth.
Hey, Elizabeth. So how do you answer that question?
I had a question that I raised my hand before you answered the question.
Oh, okay. Well, what was your other question?
Well, but to answer the question quickly, I feel like I have lived my life so much in fear that I don't even know. Like, I honestly don't even know what I would do. Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But
okay, so you see how big the question is.
Yes.
That's how important that question is. And the reason I wanted to ask that first is because I want to really get your attention and everyone else's attention on the things I have to say about how fear blocks our blessings. But now, you had another question?
Well, it might be kind of related, but it's actually about faith. And one of my big issues is I don't have faith because, well, I feel like my life has just been a series of negative things that have happened to me, and so it's really hard for me to have faith that good things will happen because I haven't seen any proof, you know. And so I was wondering, how can you have faith? How does one develop faith when they've just had a lot of hardships in life?
Well, you know, Elizabeth, it takes courage. And it also takes kind of a childlike innocence and a childlike spirit of just looking at life newly in every moment. But I'm going to have some more. Now, those are really what I told you right there. That's really the bottom line. But there are some very hardcore practical approaches to getting to that area, and that's what I want to talk about today. So if you'll just hold that thought, I think I may have some answers for you before it's all over. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Great. Okay, let me scroll down through my dashboard and see if anybody else has an answer. What would you do if you had nothing to be afraid of? Okay, here's somebody from area code 702.
Hi, Glenda.
Yes.
This is Janet from Las Vegas.
Oh, hi, Janet.
I know I haven't asked a question. I haven't spoken in a long time. But when you asked that, my first response was I would be playing such a bigger game in sharing my divine gifts. And that is through teaching and healing and working with children. I let fear stop me.
Okay.
So now you see how big fear is, right?
Yes.
Okay,
I do.
It's a biggie. And why would we do? Why do we give our power away to it?
Exactly.
Okay. Right. That's what we want to look at today. So, who else would like to share what you would do if you had no fear? Thanks, Janet.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm going to scroll down. I'm looking for, let's see, I'm looking for a question. Okay, here we got somebody, area code 303. Hi, you're on.
Glenda, my name's Teresa. Hello, thank you for calling on me. I just want to briefly say to you, I work for the government, and in the last 2 days, I got online on your website, and I am told internally that I need to go to the workshop that is going to take place in 2 weeks in around the Christ blessing. And I have been really hesitant to take a step because I can't get the day off through a means of trading or vacation. We did all of that before. We've got our vacation set, and I'm afraid to take sick leave because right now the government, the post office, is going through such changes that are really intense. I mean, I don't think I would lose my job, but it's like I don't normally lie to take a day off, and I would have to do that, and I'm feeling very strongly about doing it because I have verified it within my soul 3 times, and I know I'm supposed to be there. I'm supposed to be sharing.
Well, I have an idea on how you can do that without lying. Would you like to hear that?
Well, if it's, yes, I would. Go ahead.
Well, do you consider that on some level your soul is sick? On some level your heart is sick?
Yes.
You see, we can reduce the definitions of anything in life to fit the needs of other people or to fit into their definitions of what it is. But the fact is sometimes, and I would say a lot of times, people die of a broken heart, even though it's called cancer, even though it's called a heart attack, or it's called diabetes, or it's called an automobile accident. It's really a broken heart that kills them.
I understand.
And so we really must stay in a, I know that you are wanting to stay in your integrity by only doing what is honest, because if you breach your integrity, it will weaken your ability to hold on to your job. And that's the conflict you're feeling right there. However, I'll give you a little secret. It's a very interesting thing that I've discovered through the years. Whenever we have a problem, the problem itself is the answer in a polarized form. Let's say, for example, me. I would, for years I had this problem of how can I be both a spiritual person and an artist. I thought I had to be one or the other. And one took time away from the other, and I felt guilty about it. And then I realized I can explore the spiritual nature of art, and I can explore the artistic nature of spirituality. Why do the answer was resolving what seemed like a polarity of the problem. You see, the problem and the answer are just opposite sides of the same coin. And the fact is, you probably are sick, or you wouldn't be being told to come to this. You also probably feel a lot of heart sickness around you from other people who are so captured into these jobs that they have to work to survive. And if you
were a better instrument of just being there, being a blessing for others. What fabulous healing energy you could provide to your environment. And so you're feeling this calling, but you're it's coming into a polarity that is too low for you to resolve it. Just ask for guidance on how to move up to be in your integrity totally. You will gain so much strength, personal strength and personal integrity, and so much ability to give back to your job. You'll be 1,000 times stronger in it than you are right now.
And I know that, and that's why since the question of fear came up, I wanted to share that. I just really had to take the step and,
Yeah, you do. Again, it comes down to what I said to Elizabeth, courage.
Yes.
Courage is really the antidote to fear. And courage has to be expressed in several different ways, but I'd like to show those ways in my presentation so I can make it concise and more potent. But, Teresa, thank you for allowing me to be part of your solution here, and I hope to see you at the seminar.
Thank you.
And we have a call from area code 414. You're on, and what would you do if you had no fear?
Hey, Glenda, this is Fran in Milwaukee. That's such a huge question that I've been asking myself for the past year and trying to come over my fears. And I would be out there teaching and sharing the healing energy and the good news of Jesus. But I'm trying to get over being so afraid of how people will accept it.
Okay, I can understand that. All right, and I'm actually going to address that particular aspect of fear in my presentation. So thanks for bringing that up, Fran. That's a biggie. Because not just is it big with regard to, let's say, our spiritual faith, but sometimes we have innovative ideas and practical good new discoveries. We're afraid to share because we're afraid that people will think we're goofy or they'll rain on our parade, so to speak. They'll suppress our enthusiasm, and then we'll lose hope. And so thank you for it. I'm going to take, I see one more person on the dashboard. I'm going to take one more answer, and then I'm going to give you some of my thoughts on this huge, enormous subject. So this last call we're going to take is from area code 641, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. My name's Diane, and I'm calling you. I just hope that you'll address financial fear. I think that's a great one. And I have leaped beyond it, and I'm coming to the seminar no matter what. So
awesome.
Forward to it. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Diane. Thanks for letting me be part of your answer. And I think all of you can relate to every single question that has been addressed today. And this is, and I think you can see now, just from the few responses that we had, and I'm sure everybody would have a different response, and yet I have no doubt that each person could relate to everybody else's answer. I have no doubt because this is the biggest blockage we have to why we are not receiving blessings. So first of all, I want to talk about four basic categories of fear, and then I want to talk about three basic responses we have to fear. Okay, so the four and the three. Now, this is something that I hope you will actually return. I'd rather you to listen as to take notes. But it's something you may want to study by going back and listening to the recording again on ChristBlessing.com. Okay, because this is I'm going to have to make this a nutshell presentation. But it's so important. I'm thinking about even having even having a course, an online course this fall called Conquering Fear. Because, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, it's the biggie. We don't even realize how much of God is inside each one of us. How much of a divine presence and even genius, sparks of genius are inside each one of us. You know, the thing is, genius has absolutely, well, I guess it's got something to do with intelligence, but not a lot. Not as much as we are told. Intelligence, the way it's normally measured on the IQ test, is our success and mastery of beta level consciousness. How well we can do algebra, how well we are informed on world affairs, how logically we can compute something, a geometrical equation, how well informed are we on various subjects such as geography. All of that's been learned. That just tests what we have accumulated and integrated into our beta level memory bank. But genius is this spark of God within. And we don't have to be Einsteins. We don't have to be full-scale, comet in the sky type geniuses to have these sparks of genius that allow us to create the best cookie anybody ever tasted, like Mrs. Fields, okay? Or have the best answer for remedial assistance of children that are having trouble in school. We all have this capacity for genius. Why are we not finding it? Why are we not applying it? Why are we not developing it and moving forward? Okay, it's fear. So now, I want to talk about these four types of fear. And the first one I want to get out of the way very easily because it's natural, it's normal, and we can all deal with it without being pathological. That's nature's signal when there's something of danger. We look up in the sky and we see a tornado coming. Well, we know we better hit the root cellar real fast. We're on the highway and a car is coming toward us in our lane. We're going to have a head on. We honk our horn, nothing changes. And we know if we don't do something very quickly, we're going to have a head on collision. And we can't count on that man waking up. Somebody might have had a heart attack behind the wheel. Somebody might be completely drunk out of their brain. We don't know what's going on for that other person, but we better do something fast. We get out of the way. We don't want to swerve into the oncoming lane because there are other cars behind him. So we need to hit the ditch real fast, as carefully as we can, plot our course, and get out of the way. Well, that's nature bringing up our adrenaline and our consciousness and our ability to cope with emergencies. I was once awakened. Any of you who've read Love Without End know that our cat, my beloved friend Gunner, woke us up in the middle of the night by pouncing on our chest with extended claws, screaming at us. Our home was on fire. And when I opened the bedroom door, the whole rest of the house was ablaze. So there was nowhere to go except to jump out of a 1.5-story high, sort of split level, bedroom window. 4 minutes later, the house exploded. Well, you see, my cat knew what to do. Nature told him to go into extreme emergency. He did that for us, and we went into extreme emergency. The only thing I could think of to do was to put as many clothes on the bed as possible, wrap the sheets up in this huge big knot, push it out the window so we would have a landing pad. And we did. We got out, my husband, me, and Gunner. We all survived the fire. Now, unfortunately, our home and furnishings did not survive the fire, but we did. So that's normal fear. And it's not like any of the other fears. And as a matter of fact, that is a kind of fear that nature then incorporates, strangely enough, into our whole intelligence apparatus so that we have expanded learning from it. There were many things I learned from that experience. Things like that do not cause us to become more pathologically affected by fear. There's three other types of fear, however, that are part of the pathology of fear. And those are the ones that I want to discuss in greater detail. The first one it has to do with a false reality. You probably heard the acronym S-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Well, that is one type of fear. And one type of fear comes from the fact that I'm not just talking about lies. Most of us have pretty good lie detectors. We can kind of tell when somebody is feeding us a lie or has covered up or falsified information. We usually can, you can feel that. You know, you get this little irritated feeling and you say to yourself, I'm going to check that out. That something's not right with this picture. We go, we check it out. But what we don't get are these larger, more pervasive false realities that have been built up over a period of time. And those false realities are permeated with a lot of falsely generated evidence for flaky ideas or reactive ideas. It seems to be a climate of distrust. You see a lot of this on the internet. You get a lot of mailings about this is about to happen, that's about to happen, and you say, where in the world is this coming from? And you might go to some service like Snopes and you check it out and you say, oh, okay, well, that's a bunch of bunk. But sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes you have to look deeper. Sometimes you have to look at your feelings. And you take a look at, you really take a look at your inner being. And the rest of it has to come from, I would say, from your inner integrity and from your willingness to ask these next two questions. One is, if what I'm being told were really true, who would benefit? And if you're not one of the beneficiaries, chances are it's not true. Okay? If you really got, I want to repeat that. You say, who would benefit if this really is true? Would I benefit if it's true? Well, the fact is, you benefit from everything that's true. Even bad news, if it's true, you benefit from it, like having a tornado warning. You benefit from it because then you have advanced time to get down into the root cellar. So if it's true, even if it's bad news, you'll benefit from it. If you don't benefit from it, chances are it's not true. I want you to write that down and underline it. Okay, the second question I want you to have the courage to ask yourself is, so what, if it's true, would it make any difference in my life? Or is this just people out there spilling on me what they're afraid about? Because you see, the thing is, if you can't do anything about it, and if it's not going to affect your life in a direct way, you're far better off focusing on the things you can do something about, that you have creative forces to implement, that you can feel some joy and creativity in, because that's how you make a difference in life. And it's not that you don't feel compassion for those people that are afraid about these various things that are out there, which may or may not be true. But if you can't do anything about them and it doesn't affect you, why bring it into your consciousness? In other words, you have to ask the relevancy question. And it actually takes a lot of courage to ask that relevancy question, because it comes back to ultimately us being responsible for our own life. In the end, we must be responsible. Now, the next, I guess we're going to go on 2 or 3 minutes longer because I want to cover all of these things for you. The next thing has to do with a situation my husband has termed psychogenesis. And that is when something once happened to you that was painful. I'm going to apologize in advance and take my licks later, but I may not, Larry, I may not give your example perfectly because I've got to do the short, very condensed form right now. But let's say when you were a child, you ate a green apple and you were getting a really bad stomach ache. And at the same time, you smelled lilacs. It was this lilac bush around because it was in your grandmother's garden. And the neighbor had a horse, and you could smell the horse. And on your grandmother's windowsill was an apple pie. And up until that time, you had always loved apple pies. But now, every time you smell a lilac bush, you see a horse, or you if somebody offers you apple pie, you say, oh, I can't eat that. It makes me sick. Well, the pie never made you sick. The horse never made you sick, and the lilac bush never made you sick. But unconsciously, those sensory perceptions were combined in an event that did make you sick. And this is the unconscious component of fear. And for the unconscious components of fear, one of the best recommendations I could actually make would be to go to our website and click on the offerings we have by Dr. Larry Jensen and get his psychogenesis program. It will take you back to many of the psychogenesis events you've had and help clear out what we could call unconsciously associated levels of fear. And it's really a big thing for a lot of people. If you can't do that, or if you like to have a one-on-one connection with somebody, you can get help from a number of different therapists, including hypnotherapists. Dr. Nick Hall, who's an advisor and a contributor to our Yeshua on Health and Wellness and our Conscious Healing Community, has a lot of good information on his website, 35 for Life, about how we have actually inherited fears from our ancestors and simple ways we can apply just to eliminate and completely wash away from our DNA inherited levels of fear. You know, even the Bible talks about the fact that we inherit the patterns of our ancestors up to 5 generations. And people who do therapy in deprogramming, unconscious programming, can confirm that. And so that is very, very true. And the last form of fear I want to talk about is if we respelled the word atmosphere instead of ending in S-P-H-E-R to end in atmos, F-E-A-R, we would have what is a huge climate in the world today, atmosphere. And especially those of us who have a spiritual orientation and are empathic, a lot of the fears we're picking up are from others. we're part of the atmosphere. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of integrity to be in your own centered space and recognize that I'm not afraid of this. I realize others are. But what can I do to be stronger, to be more in my integrity, to embrace my life as I see the truth of my being in connection with God? Now, here's where the Christ blessing, not only receiving it but giving, can make a huge difference in your life and in the world. Because for lack of a higher connection and for lack of a clarified connection with the universe, the cosmos, and our Creator, what we do is we bleed off our world into a lot of empathic associations with people around us, and we pick up their fear. Now, when we are truly in our heart and our integrity, we download from the source of the universe through whatever spiritual guides we have, whether angels, saints, or healing guides, through the Holy Spirit, moving down through our heart center into the earth that actually has no fear. Our Mother God Earth has no fear whatsoever. It moves back through us, and we are cleansed of the atmosphere, F-E-A-R. And in being cleansed of that atmosphere, we are made stronger, we're made whole, and we're able to embrace our courage. Now, I was going to tell you there are three ways of responding to fear. Fight or flight is what's usually talked about. But that's really only in regard to the other three forms of fear. In regard to this huge, present, atmospheric fear, what we tend to do is freeze. That's how we most typically respond to it. So my answer to that is do something, anything that you're not afraid of. Anything. If it means go clean your garage, go clean your garage. And in the process of cleaning your garage, you'll just get unfrozen. You may even have this great idea, oh, I think I'll have a garage sale. You have the garage sale, you make $300. All of a sudden, you've got something you haven't had in a year, which is an extra $300. And instead of just spending it on the bills, you say, you know, I'm going to do something special for myself. I haven't had $300 in so long to just do a few of the things that I really, really want to do, and I'm not afraid. Maybe to go have my hair done, or to go have a nice meal, or invite a friend out to lunch. In other words, see, you unfroze. You unstuck. Now, that was just one little piddly example. There are thousands and thousands of examples you can come up for in your life for how to get yourself unfrozen. Do anything that you're not afraid of. Anything that unsticks you, and let it lead to the next thing you're not afraid of, and the next thing you're not afraid of. Pretty soon you'll realize, hey, most of this stuff I thought I was afraid of, I was just picking up from everybody else. So now, we do need to do our blessing. But I want to leave you with this question, and I want you to listen to this recording again sometime during the week and ask yourself this question. What would I do if I were not afraid? Because it's only in overcoming your fears that you can fulfill your potential, you can activate your genius, you can experience your freedom, you can really be in your state of joy and discover all that was given to you to be, to have, and to live. So now, I want to offer a blessing for you that comes from the height of the universe where there is no fear, running down to the earth, and she also has no fear. We want to, this is the process of making you whole. And in making you whole, your fears are conquered. And all manner of blessing is made available to you. So any blessing giver that would like to join me, I certainly welcome your combined energy and all the rest who are here. Let us begin. Shoes and socks off, feet on the ground, sitting with your spine erect so you can partake of the flow of gravity. And now allow your attention to drop into your heart. And as you pray, pray the prayer from no fear. What would you do? What would you want? What would you have? What would you give? What would you give to your fellow man, all those you love? What would you dare to be if you had no fear? Dear Yeshua, Lord of the cosmos, friend of us all, brother, the one who has taught us to walk through life without fear, the one who walked through the ultimate moment of threat and destruction to your own physical life to show that fear has no power over us, except that we give it power. And if we give it no power, all the claws and teeth are torn away from the dragon and the tiger of fear. And we see it as a limp and impotent force bluffing its way into our life. Thank you for giving us the courage and the clarity to see beyond our fear and to be innocently in our heart as a little child, to be innocently here and to also be courageously present in a world that could give us so many opportunities for fear, but we choose not to embrace them. Instead, we embrace the love of God, the inner reserves and potential of our being, and all the love around us. Amen. The energy conveyance is complete. Now, I would like you to go and rest for 7 minutes, at least. It's okay if you fall asleep, but don't think. This is a time to allow the energy just to permeate into all the cells of your body, heart, soul, and being. It will find its way to whatever needs to be nurtured, enlightened, healed, or made stronger. Much love from me, and have a wonderful week. God bless.